Welcome to Selah, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. Worthy is the Lamb is the declaration of heaven. The ultimate purpose and goal of the Father sending His Son Jesus Christ into the world is so that those who trust in Him as Lord and Savior would throughout all eternity declare, "Blessing, glory, wisdom, thanksgiving, honor, power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." Please open your Bible to Revelation chapter 5, verse 8, and listen as Pastor Ray Viola completes his final message in his Advent series entitled, "Why the Incarnation."
There's going to be music in heaven. The kind of music God intended for us to listen to. The kind of music that He intended for us to be singing. Psalm 33, verse 2 says, "Praise the Lord with the harp, sing unto Him with the psaltery, and with an instrument of 10 strings." Psalm 98, verse 5 says, "Sing unto the Lord with the harp, and with the voice of a psalm." One commentator says, heaven is revealed to earth as the homeland of music. It is, not Nashville. Not Hollywood, heaven, the homeland of music. God created music. All the notes and all the beauty of music comes from Him and was created to bring Him glory. And speaking about the fact that our God created music, it was Bach who said all music should be for the glory of God and for the refreshment of the human soul. And then this golden vial full of odors, what's that? Well, that's prayers. That's your prayers. That's my prayers. Because of Christ's sacrifice for us, you and I who know Him as our Lord and Savior and know Father as God, when we pray, we're talking to the King of the universe. We're talking to the King of kings and the Lord of lords. The Bible says in Psalm 141, verse 2, "Let my prayer be set before thee as incense." Revelation 8, 3 says, "And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hands." When you prayed this morning, when you're praying right now, when you're praying, when you're driving your car, when you're praying, that's incense that goes up before God. It's pleasing to Him. A little bit of encouragement to you who are praying prayers and saying, "But God's not answering yet." You know, there's many answers. We just think yes is an answer. Sometimes no is an answer. Sometimes wait is an answer. Sometimes my grace is sufficient as an answer. But for some reason, when I was preparing this, I thought of when the angel appeared to Zacharias, John the Baptizer's father, saying, "Your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth is going to conceive." Now, he's old now. She's old. And he's probably thinking, "What? Now? Your prayer is being heard?" You know how long that must have been? Your prayer is being heard? Even prayers that we forget about are still in God's inbox. I believe that every single one of the blessings in our lives are answers to prayers that either we or somebody else prayed for us. I'm also convinced that some of the prayers that you and I are praying are going to outlive our earthly lives. I also believe that you and I are here this morning as a part of the prayers that were answered to the first saints who worshiped in this building back in 1901. When you and I pray, beloved, we're talking to the great physician of both bodies and souls, the wonderful counselor who will never lead us in the wrong direction, the mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the God of all comfort, the God of all grace, Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Why would you go to anyone else and pay them for counsel? It's beyond me. And so now, all heaven breaks loose. We read in the news about all hell breaking loose. How about a little bit of what's going on in heaven right now? Could you use a little bit of that? You're not going to hear it on the evening news, but we're going to rehear. They sing a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for you were slain," or "you became a sacrifice for us, and have redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." In the days of the Apostle John, the Roman emperors were celebrated upon their arrival with the Latin expression, "Iere dignus," which means "you are worthy." But in heaven's court, there's one who is worthy. There's one who is worthy. The Savior of our souls, the Lamb of God. Here, the true ruler of the universe is honored with the words, "You are worthy." In Revelation 4:11, the emphasis is on God's work of creation. Here, the emphasis is on his work of redemption. It's the redeemed that sing, and they sing a new song. It's a song of redemption. You have redeemed, past tense. It's a done deal, beloved. You have been redeemed. How? To God. By whom? By Christ. Through which agency? By his blood. By the blood of Christ, we have been redeemed. We don't sing about water baptism. We don't sing about sacraments. We don't sing about church. We don't sing about our good works. We sing and give glory to the Lamb who's redeemed us by his blood. It's the blood of Christ. Without the blood of Christ applied to your sinful soul and my sinful soul, there is no forgiveness. There is no redemption. It's only by the blood of Christ that you can be forgiven and guaranteed eternal life. You have redeemed us to God by your blood, oh precious saints. Look at, this is going to be one of the overheads in heaven. Learn the words. You're going to be singing them forever and ever. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Why did Christ come? Why the incarnation? This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's why he came. That's why we're here. That's why we sing. That's why we live. That's why we worship. And it's from him that you and I are given our very next breath. Jesus was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. You know why he tasted death for every man? Because in the eyes of God, all lives matter. All lives. Every color, every nation, every tribe, every individual matters before God. You matter before God. And notice, he's made us into our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Isn't that incredible? You and me who are redeemed, we shall reign on the earth. In Revelation chapter 20, we read in verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him for 1,000 years. Beloved, you and I who are in Christ Jesus, when Christ returns and sets up his kingdom on earth, we're going to reign with him for 1,000 years. 6 references in Revelation 20 to 1,000-year period of time. And you and I are going to reign with him for 1,000 years. Now, at this point in time, heaven is really exploding. I can imagine how loud it is when it's thousands times ten thousands and thousands of thousands. No earplugs. Can you imagine? John is witnessing this. "I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice." Now, when the Bible says it's loud in heaven, in other words, there's nothing that can compare to it here on earth. So if you're predisposed to quietness, that's okay here on earth. But I'm going to tell you right now, when you get to heaven, it's going to be loud. Loud harps, loud praise, loud worship. You're going to be loud. We're all going to be charismatic and Pentecostal in heaven. We all are. Amen? Yeah, it's good. Yeah, clapping hands is all right. It's good. As long as it's to him, right? Now, what's inspiring all of this? Is there a worship leader up there? We got wonderful worship leaders. I thank God for our worship team. All right? I thank God for them. But there's no worship leader having to say, come on now, come on, let's crank it up, start singing, you know. There's no strobe machines. There's no huge PA system. You know what inspires worship? They see the Lamb that's redeemed them. And when you get a personal revelation of the Lamb that redeemed you, you will worship. You're going to worship. You're not going to be afraid to worship. You're going to be lifting your hands. You don't care who sees you. When you used to go to a concert, did you care who saw you do this? Did you? No. How much more to the one who redeemed us? That's all that's needed. A glimpse of the Lamb. A glimpse of the Lamb. And I beheld here in this heavenly scene, the angels now join in. Say, you are worthy. You are worthy. We see that the key and inspiration to heartfelt worship of the Lord as a personal revelation and recognition of the slain Lamb, Jesus Christ, who takes away the sin of the world. The psalmist says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And then there's this list of things described to Christ. Power. At the end of Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Absolute power belongs to Jesus Christ. All riches, Ephesians 3:8, the unsearchable riches of Christ, the riches of the Lord Jesus are beyond description. Riches of grace, riches of glory, riches of his goodness, riches that money cannot buy. Wisdom, Colossians 2:3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus is the wisdom of God. He's the only wise God who offers you and I wisdom. Strength. 1 Samuel 15:29, the strength of Israel will not lie, for he is not a man that he should lie. Honor at the end of the ages, Philippians 2:10 and 11 says, at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess to Jesus Christ as Lord to the glory of God the Father. Everybody here today, everybody watching online, will inevitably bow the knee and confess Jesus Christ as Lord. If you do it today, it's not the salvation, but you will bow. You will bow. And glory, we read in the Gospel of John, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glories of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth and blessing. Nehemiah 9:5, blessed be thy glorious name, which is exalted above all blessing and praise. And so as they are declaring all of these things that ascribe to the Lamb, the purpose of the incarnation is the glorification of Christ in heaven. And then in verses 13 and 14, every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, that's the Father, and, or in addition to, or along with, the Lamb forever and ever. That word and is very important. We find that all creation gives precisely the same praise and in the same terms to Jesus Christ, who is undoubtedly meant here by the Lamb just slain as they give to God who sits upon the throne. That's because Jesus Christ, according to the scriptures, is God. God made flesh and dwelt among us. The picture here is of all-inclusive praise of God. The royal manifesto is, as it were, a proclamation showing how Christ fulfills all things. Every knee bows to him, not only on earth, but also in heaven and under the earth. The eternal God worshiped in heaven. And the four beasts said, amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that lives forever and ever. Amen. So be it. That's heaven's audible response to the truthfulness of all that's been said. It's a title that has already been given to Jesus back in chapter 3, verse 14, which is a cross-reference to Isaiah chapter 65, verse 16. It's an affirmation that Jesus is the Father's amen, the final authority, the final word, the ultimate authority. Charles Spurgeon said this, depend upon it, my hearer, You will never go to heaven unless you are prepared to worship Jesus Christ as God. They are all doing it there. You will have to come to it. And if you entertain the notion that he is a mere man or that he is anything less than God, I am afraid you will have to begin at the beginning and learn what true religion means. You have a poor foundation to rest upon. I could not trust my soul with a mere man or believe in an atonement made by a mere man. I must see God himself putting his hand to so gigantic a work. Marshall Siegel wrote these words: "This tune is never going to get old," that we read in Revelation 5. "The lyrics will never stop freshly and powerfully affecting us. We'll sing with ever-increasing love and awe and gratitude. We will never get tired of singing these words to our God, our King, and our Redeemer. In one sense, all of our singing in this life only prepares us to lift up our voices to him in worship before the throne forever." We're going to be singing this forever, saints. Amen. Amen. And this heavenly scene answers the question, why the incarnation? This song is what all creation was designed for the glorification and honor of the Lamb, Jesus Christ. This song is the ultimate purpose and meaning of all created things. As I read earlier in Colossians 1:16, all things exist by Christ and through Christ and for Christ and for the Father who sits upon the throne. Romans 11:36 says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever." You getting the idea here? Yes, it's for him everything is the glory. For him, unto him, for him, by him, be glory forever and ever. That's the meaning of human history. That's the ultimate meaning of creation. That is the ultimate meaning of redemption. That is the ultimate meaning of why we celebrate Christmas. It's not jingle bells. It's sacred harps worshiping a holy God. Let me read one more doxology and then a closing thought for you. In Revelation chapter 7, we read in verse 9, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying," notice again, "salvation to our God who sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb." And here we go again. It seems like whenever that is mentioned, that scene is referred to, "and all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts and fell before the throne in their faces and worshiped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen." The glorification of Jesus Christ is the ultimate meaning of his incarnation. So, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, right? Now, when you celebrate someone's birth, you give them gifts, or you should. And if you really love them, you include the receipt to tell them, show them how much you love them. Or to exchange the size, right? Okay. Okay, now I know if you're visiting us, you're thinking, okay, I knew it. Eventually, the guy talking is going to say, all right, here come the guy with the plates for money. No, 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 no. We don't do that around here. You give to God. This isn't about you giving him money, but this is about you giving him something that he doesn't have. What do you give to the person, the one who created everything and owns everything? The only thing that God does not have from you is your heart. That's the gift you can give him today. So let me ask you. It says in Proverbs 23, verse 26, "My son, give me your heart and let your eyes observe my ways." Have you ever given your heart to Jesus Christ? I'm not asking what church you attend. Have you ever given your heart to Jesus Christ? If not, that's the gift that he's looking for. He wants your heart this morning. And for those of us who have walked with the Lord for a while, We've given him our heart, but I wonder how many of us have walked and we've gone, you know, perhaps so far, and then we put a seatbelt on. Don't touch this area of my life. Don't touch that. I'll be reservedly committed to you. I wonder if today you would say, Lord, the seatbelt's coming off. You have every part. Every part belongs to you. I would like to pray for you this morning before we worship. If you're here this morning and you've been kind of like a seatbelt follower, stand up. I'd like to pray for you. Well, I'm standing. Nobody else. Thank you. Amen. Yeah. So the four of us, five of us, yes, you pray for us. Six of us, seven. Okay, it's rolling now. Yeah. Lord, I give you everything. I give you everything. I give you my life. I give you my vocation. Everything you've blessed me with, Lord, I'm totally yours. Lord, that's our prayer this morning. Help us by your power to fulfill it. I wonder how many are here this morning and say, you know, I never really, you may be seated, you saints. Thank you for standing up with me. I wonder how many of you are here this morning who never really gave your heart to Jesus Christ. You've never been born again. You see, until you are born again, he doesn't have your heart. And how are you born again? If you believe that Christ died on the cross for your sins, if you believe that he was buried and rose again the third day, if you believe that with your heart and confess him as Lord with your mouth, you shall be saved. That's a gift from God to you today. And if that's you, we'd love to pray for you this morning. Maybe you would like to stand up. Why would I ask you to stand up in front of all these people? Because Jesus said, if you will confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. And if you can't stand before this group, don't tell me you're going to stand before your college friends or family members or co-workers. But that's you today. That's you today. I'd like you to stand. I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to pray for you. All right. Well, I suspect that there are some out there. We'll be lingering around afterwards to pray with you. What's the ultimate purpose for the incarnation? That Christ would be glorified and worshiped in heaven. What's the ultimate purpose for us being redeemed? That Christ would be worshiped and exalted. Paul the Apostle put it like this. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. And the only people here and watching online that can say, to die is gain, are those who say, for me, to live is Christ. That's it. And today is that day of salvation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the record of Scripture. Thank you for sending your Son, that blessed hope for every person here today. Oh, Lord God, we are humbled by the fact that you would send your Son to bear our sin, to bear our suffering, to bear our shame. And this morning, we just want to come to you this morning and give you the praise and the glory and the honor that's been going on, Jesus, ever since you were exalted to the right hand of the Father. May you be worshiped, may you be adored, may you be glorified in every life here and watching online. In Jesus' blessed name, amen and amen.
Join us tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. for the next edition of Sila, a daily study in the Scriptures with Pastor Ray Viola. What is Christmas all about? It's about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of man, who was born in a manger, lived on this earth for 33 years, and died to take away the sin of the world. Jesus Christ, the Redeemer of man, is the central theme of all Scripture and also the theme of our Christmas messages here at Koinonia. He is our light in the darkness, bringing perfect peace to those who keep their mind stayed upon him. May we lift up our Redeemer Jesus this Christmas and pray that many would see the glory of God in the face of our precious Lord and Savior. Do you have a Bible question? Do you need to talk with someone or have someone pray with you? If you do, we invite you to visit our website at selaonradio.com and click on the live chat button. We'd love to hear from you. Audio and video downloads of all Pastor Ray's teachings can be accessed at koinoniafellowship.com. You can subscribe to Pastor Ray's blog at selaonradio.com and receive a daily devotional by email. We welcome you to join us for Sunday morning and Wednesday evening services at Koinonia Fellowship. Our address is 500 Main Street, East Rochester, New York. Service times are 8:30 and 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday. This program has been brought to you by Koinonia Fellowship.